This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
A new era in baseball began yesterday, but for the greatest pitcher in the game, it was same old, same old. Sticky stuff doesn't matter one bit to Jacob deGrom. Bart and Hahn, welcome on this Tuesday, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and of course on your smart speaker by saying, play ESPN Radio. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn. Bart, Bartholomew? I should have come up with a name in advance. Arthur Scott joins us from parts unknown. He is with us. We, of course, are brought to you by our friends at Progressive Insurance. And, of course, all guests will appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, Jacob deGrom, it doesn't matter, as they're checking him for sticky stuff yesterday. And he's the first one checked. I thought it was just kind of funny to watch. And then he goes out and purely dominates. And, Bart, it just struck me. This is not greatness we are watching right now, and it's not getting nearly enough attention. This is as close to perfection in an athletic performance over the course of a season as we have ever seen.
I mean, I think, you know, to your point, remember what was said, and we kind of brushed it aside as well when Buster Olney said he heard Jacob deGrom is pitching better than he's ever pitched before. And we kind of brushed it aside, but now we're witnessing it. And it's been a lot of film to break down, right? So we've seen it, and it looks like he's not slowing down. The only thing that can stop Jacob deGrom is Jacob deGrom. And that's something that's, you know, totally different. As you look, he only pitched five innings. But then at first glance, you're like, he only pitched five innings. Like, Jacob, you know, he always talks about helping his bullpen out and giving him tremendous length. Okay, well, it was a doubleheader. So now we know that it was only seven innings, you know, in that game. So, of course, that means that that's pretty much like him going to the seventh. They're able to get their closers in and be able to get the bullpen their work. So, I mean, when you look at it that way, then it says, okay, well, he's right on par, right? 70 pitches. I mean, to get guys out of there with 70 pitches in five innings, pitch is right on par. So I'm still concerned with this something there because we talk about the compensation. But the only thing that can stop Jacob deGrom at this point, Chris, is Jacob deGrom.
Well, we'll talk about the compensation part of it because it's a big part of it in a minute. First of all, let's put it a little bit more in context. You mentioned Buster. Here he is bringing a lot of knowledge and, of course, numbers as well.
Jacob deGrom, we're seeing right now, is the best pitcher that we've ever seen. That start last night was the embodiment of his surgical precision in how he pitches because he dominates that corner low and away to right-handed hitters, and low and in to left-handed hitters like nobody that we've seen since Mariano Rivera. And Rivera was a relief pitcher who did it one inning at a time. He threw 70 pitches last night. 60 were in that spot, low and away, and the Braves were completely helpless. Some numbers for you. He's faced 250 hitters this year. He struck out 117 of those, 47%. And think about these numbers. Against the 1, 2, and 3 batters in the on opposing teams, that's the first, second, and third hitters in opposing lineups, those guys are 6-89 with 45 strikeouts. They've scored one run. We're in the middle of June. One run for the first three hitters in opposing lineup.
Bart, that's absurd.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, when you think about the precision of being able to put the ball exactly where he wants to put it, just lets you know how in control and command he is. You know, athletes always have this point where we call it the proximity point, or we call it the point where the body and the mind meet, because sometimes guys are just dominant because they're physically, you know, great. Like we see Syndergaard right now. We're waiting to see if Syndergaard's mind can ever catch up with his physical skills where he can learn how to think the game. Right now, I think if we were talking to Star Wars, like this would be like when a Jedi becomes a master, right? When he kind of masters all the nuance of being a Jedi, he's kind of figured out how his body works, his mechanics works, and he's just so locked in right now. And it's amazing to watch. The only thing that concerns you is, can he keep this pace up? Can he keep throwing, you know, triple digits? And what damage is that doing? And is he winning the battle to eventually lose the war?
This is what I'm concerned about in a very big way. And I don't think it's necessarily protecting him from himself, Bart. But when I see him yesterday in the third inning, and he walks the pitcher, and he snapped off a slider, and he's shaking his right arm. All you can think about is what happened. What did he do? When he goes to the dugout, all you can think about, who's warming up in the bullpen? Are they trying to get, is he going down into the tunnel? Is this, you know, are they going to get him out of the game again? This is a real problem, and I honestly think that the Mets are not handling this properly. I know that when it comes to athletes, you trust the athlete to know their body, to know what they're about. But when you are putting your body under this absurd stress, this unprecedented stress, the amount of times he continues to throw the ball, I mean, first inning, right out of the gate, 101, 102, and it's not backing off of it at all. And you could say, well, they only made him, you know, they took him out after 70 pitches yesterday. That's not rest. That's not managing the situation to me, Bart. I think part of it has to be him knowing that he has to be able to dial this back a little bit, because right now, if you're Jacob DeGrom, how do you not think as a competitor you're invincible?
Yeah, absolutely. But also, he knows the work that he's put in, because maybe 100 is just natural for him now. Maybe that's not him kind of trying to hit high marks, right? We talk about Chapman, you know, went up to 103 this year, right? It looks like DeGrom isn't even trying to throw hard. It doesn't look like he's over pitching or over throwing the ball. It looks like that's just his natural motion, and when he kind of wants to dial it up a little bit and throw the old Terminator, that's what the numbers reflect. And it's amazing that, listen, it's all kind of things that come to your mind when you start seeing guys that have been in the league for a long time start to hit numbers that they've never hit before.
Of course, you always think
that's PEDs. That's why I think he's the first guy to get checked, because I guarantee you, when you mention, when Buster's talking about the first and second and third, you know, only having one base run or whatever that stat was, they're saying, hold up, man. You know who I am? I'm Acuna. I'm Freeman. Nah. You don't do that to me. You know, you don't do that to me unless you jacked up on Mountain Dew. Like, it's no way. Like, this isn't the same. It's like Cinderella, man. Like, come on, man. You hit this guy easy last season. Hey, yo, this ain't the same guy, right? He's found a way to become better, right? And not only is a Cy Young in his future, maybe an MVP.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because this is what I would really find concerning. Before the year, we heard Jacob DeGrom talk about in spring training, I don't just want to be a Hall of Famer. I want to be an inner circle Hall of Famer. In other words, the best of the best of the best.
And who is that? You know, who is that for our casual listeners?
You know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, the types like Walter Johnson, like Cy Young. Now, you're not going to put up 511 wins, but DeGrom wants to be in that conversation of the not just Hall of Fame pitchers.
Can he be the best Met pitcher of all time?
He absolutely can. And he's doing Tom Seaver-like stuff. He's doing better than Tom Seaver right now in this particular season. And really, over his career, it's pretty close. He has been Tom Seaver, except that they didn't score runs for him until this year.
Right. But the wins, that don't matter anymore.
One problem with this. You mentioned the MVP. He's already won two Cy Youngs. He wants to win the Cy Young and the MVP. You mentioned the compensation. Bart, he can opt out after 2022 out of a contract that is ridiculous.
Disrespectful.
It really is. He fired his agent shortly thereafter. He gave the Mets a break in that $50 million of the $137 million that he signed for is deferred. But he can opt out after next year. So think about this for a second. They had a brief discussion in spring training about an extension because you have new ownership with Steve Cohen. Bart, the numbers that were thrown out by DeGrom's people immediately were Gerrit Cole numbers.
And it should be.
They should be, but he wants that kind of money.
Yes.
And I feel like he still thinks that at his age, you know, he's not young. He's like 30, 31 right now, that he still feels like he has to be able to justify that. And I'm sorry. I'm going to feel like he's pushing himself too much here.
Because
we
know that number goes away, and that number is reduced significantly if he has Tommy John, or if he's injured, if he can't finish. So that's my problem here.
Yeah. He might be going after this, but he's going to end up hurting himself in the process.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, that's the risk that every athlete takes when they talk about betting on themselves. And you know, he should be the highest paid pitcher in the league. And at 30, 31 years old, he still should have a good 5 years left in the tank. Are we talking about an extension on top of that, like the opt-out, the opt-in, or whatever, right? We talk about maybe, you know, pushing his annual value or his annual number up. And I don't think that Cohen's going to have the same issues that the Wilpons had.
No.
And I don't think they're going to have to defer anything. I think all that money, you know, they can front load it knowing that the rest of it is deferred.
What bothers me the most here is we have a chance to see this amazing season. And, God, I'm enjoying watching it so much. But at the same time, I'm worried about this guy.
Yeah.
I don't want this season to really end up costing him his career. He's 33. He's not 31. Like, he's 33. So if he's talking about $300 million, you're talking about wanting a 9- and 10-year contract.
No.
And I don't know how you're getting that right now. Maybe they're talking about average annual value.
Right.
North of what Bauer got with 40 per year, whatever it was. That might be fine, but those were the kind of numbers that they were talking about in totality. And so I don't want to watch this pitcher, who is just as close to perfection as we have ever seen, do himself in here in the process of it.
I mean, yeah, like you said, like, and also we want to see this equate to winning, because we talked about it, right, with the lack of infield defense, with the lack of hitting and scoring when he's pitching. We don't want to see them, the Mets as well, waste him in his prime, right? To be able to have, like, you know, the Harveys, the Syndergaards, the Wheelers, and to be able to have that tremendous pitching staff and to not have anything but a World Series appearance is a little bit doing a disservice to the scouting and being able to get all these great pitchers. And you hope that DeGrom can get it. So DeGrom has what? He can opt out in 2022.
After 2022.
Right.
And they
so
want to talk
at
about
age,
the extension now.
Right. So at age of 36, you know, he's a unrestricted free agent at 37. So at 2024. So if we're talking about tearing it up this year and giving him some new money, he's old, 33, 30, and 30, 32. So that's 90 right there. If we can lift that value up to maybe $40 million a year, $45 million a year, then that 2 years is 90, right? And then that'd be like 130. So maybe he can get 130 in the next 3 years, and you extend that maybe to 2026, which would make him like 39 years old, man. But then, man, that's asking for a lot to ask him to be able to pitch at that level at 39 years old.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is this quite simply the greatest pitching season that we have ever seen? 40 Whoa. In Jersey is up first. Barton Hahn, 40. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Barton Hahn? Quick take on this, man. I think Randy Johnson was the best pitcher. I think he's a better pitcher than DeGrom, just because, you know, the time he was pitching in, he was pitching against PEDs. DeGrom's a monster, but right now the ball's like adjusted and everything. It's not the same game. But the eye test, I think Randy Johnson's the best pitcher I ever seen. DeGrom's having a monster season.
But you talk about he won the Cy. It's not like he's just dominating this year. He won the Cy Young. You know, what, 2 out of the last 3 years he won the Cy Young as well. So, you know, we don't know last year, remember how the baseballs were jumping out of the park, right? So you can talk about the steroid era, but I'm telling you about the juice baseball era. Whenever I see Brett Gardner hitting home runs in August, I know something's going on when Die Hard is out there knocking a ball out of the park in August, when we know that's when he traditionally struggles.
Time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Tom Brady brought the Straight Talk on a recent episode of The Shop on HBO. Brady was talking about his free agency last year and going through the process, and a team that had been initially interested decided that they weren't interested. And Brady looked at it and said, "You're going to stick with that blankety blank?" Bart, first of all, I want to know who people think he's talking about at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All I could think of with Brady, that had to be the Chicago Bears. Because if you're talking about Mitch Trubisky strikes me as he might be that blankety blank in Brady's mind right there.
You know, what I love about settings like The Shop and podcasts is when we get more realistic, true answers, the non-political answers, right? So, you know, shout out to LeBron and Maverick for being able to have this platform where players and players can be themselves. They can speak as they speak in the locker room. They can speak as they speak when they're with their friends. But, I mean, I think that's a curious thing, man. I would love to play this game. Like, who do you guys out there think that Tom Brady was talking about? And how do you think they're feeling now that, you know, terrific Tom looks like he's going to play another 2 to 3 years? And with that being said, what quarterback would you, you know, give up that money for now, give a long-term contract? Is Aaron Rodgers that guy? Is Deshaun Watson's young, or is Russell Wilson that guy?
Well, Bart, who do you think he was talking about?
This is tough, man. I want to go with the Rams.
Really?
Maybe the Rams. Maybe they were like, we're going to stick with Jared Goff.
Okay.
He was like, really? Jared Goff? I'm from Cali. I'm coming back home. You want to stick with that guy?
I can't imagine knowing what Sean McVay, based on his comments this offseason, thought of Jared Goff, that they were the team. Could it have been the Raiders? Could Gruden have been that guy?
It's no way that if Gruden had a realistic chance to be – listen, Gruden is smiling ear to ear the fact that he made Russell Wilson's list. Terrific Tom, the guy that, you know, when you look at that gleam, especially when he was on a member of the Monday Night Football crew, how well he talked about Tom Brady. Listen, he would trade Derek Carr for a food stamp right now. Listen – Especially with knowing what he has to face within that division, knowing that he has Patrick Mahomes, of course it wasn't the Raiders. The Raiders have been trying to get rid of Derek Carr ever since John Gruden has gotten there.
Well, they put up – I mean, Brady put up 369 and 4 touchdowns on the Raiders last year. he lost to the Bears, remember, earlier in the year, 20-19, but that wasn't Trubisky, that was Nick Foles. But still – like, it's fascinating to figure out who it was.
Isn't it funny, like, the teams that Brady has, like, struggled with and the type of quarterbacks that he can't beat? Can't beat Peyton Manning. He can't. Maybe it's just, like, guys that are got that leave it to Beaver, you know, type of look on their face. Because if you're a stud, he going to kill you. If you're a lotto stud, he going to kill you. But if you're like some dorky-looking quarterback, he can't beat you, man. Maybe he comes
Brady's
there.
Brady's got a little bit – I'm losing to this guy.
Yeah. Like, Philly, what the hell?
Who do you think it was? Justin in Georgia up first. Justin, what's up? Who do you think?
Hey, guys. I'm really thinking it was David Carr out there in Vegas. I mean, yeah, Gruden may have really thought highly of Brady as he does, but honestly, if Brady called him and Gruden was like, nah, man, Carr's younger, got some more years on him, I think we're going to stick with him. I think that's who Brady was talking about.
This is why I don't think so, right? Because they're only paying Derek Carr $25 million. They could have brought Brady in anyway and still been able to absorb it and not even have to move Derek Carr immediately, right? Because Derek Carr is not one of these guys that's making $40 million. He's not making $30 million. I think he's making an annual value of $25 million a year. They could have absorbed that because they're not paying anybody over there. I don't see it. Maybe Minnesota?
Oh, well, geez. I mean, you're gonna keep paying that guy all that money, keep paying Kirk Cousins.
Maybe Minnesota, Bart, you know, because they gave him an extension, right?
Bart, I think Steven in Houston might have the right answer here as to who he's talking about for many reasons. Steven, who do you think Brady was talking about?
Hey, guys. I think it was San Francisco and Jimmy G. He wanted to go back to Cali. San Francisco had a team that was good enough to make it to the Super Bowl. They just needed a quarterback. And so I think he was stunned. Like, really? You're going to stick with this guy?
Listen, and think about that for a second. It's
that makes
Jimmy
a lot
G,
of sense.
The guy that backed him up, the guy that he basically ran out of town in New England, and he's watched him in San Francisco. He did get to a Super Bowl. We do need to give him a little bit of a break there. But if you're the 49ers – I could see that being the guy. I could see Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch saying, yeah, we're going to roll with him here.
Well, he did take him to a Super Bowl. Yep. And last year they had high expectations, right? It was just because of all the injuries that maybe they didn't live up to the expectations. But it's funny, though, when you think about, you know, Jimmy G, like, oh, you're going to – you really, that guy? You're sticking with that guy? And then next year they go out and get Trey Lance.
So maybe can really laugh about it now.
Maybe John Lynch was like, yeah, we were wrong on that one. We totally missed out.
Yeah, we probably should have ridden that one out for a couple of years and see what the old man had left. This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Up next, my friends, one of the NBA's biggest stars continues to remain loyal, but is this a mistake? We will discuss in moments. It's Bart and Han, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. That's all next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Han.
DJ Killer Groove is not in the building today, baby. Biggie, this is just something that you can make you ride to, man. I wonder who they sampled this from. It's funny when you see, like, people from different generations get in and their mom get in and they sing two totally separate songs.
Oh, yeah. what are you talking about? This is Frankie Valli. No, Mom. No. It's Migos. No.
Right. These hippity-hop people can't ruin everything.
It is Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin and for Alan Han, along with Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Twice over the last week, we've had our best NBA insiders, Woj last Friday and Brian Windhorst yesterday. And we've asked them repeatedly about Damian Lillard. And here's situation in Portland. Here's what Windhorst said yesterday, just to remind you.
I think he's committed to there. From what I am told, he has been very involved, or at least maybe not very involved, but involved in the coaching search. He is. I know that he made headlines because he came out and said he wanted Jason Kidd or else, but he's backed down from that and has been actively involved. He has been discussing strategy and stuff with possible candidates. He committed to playing for Team USA in Tokyo, which means that his focus this offseason is going to be on basketball, not on demanding a trade or whatever. And I think he's committed. Would I feel super duper comfortable if I was the Blazers? No, I would not. I would feel a lot of pressure to make a great coaching hire and to improve the roster and to become a lot better, but I don't anticipate Dame Lillard going anywhere in the short term.
See, Bart, I'm conflicted here. I really admire Dame Lillard for having this position. Woj said the same thing. Has heard nothing that Dame Lillard is going to force his way out of Portland when we've all kind of made that assumption based on that post-game Instagram post a couple of weeks ago. I look at Dame Lillard and I think you have to be careful here because you want to be involved in the coaching search. That's great. I would think it would be silly for Portland not to really do everything they could to keep him there. But the personnel is the issue. CJ McCollum is the issue. Other guys around him, they are the issue for Dame Lillard in terms of wanting to win He needs guys that are going to fit better than him, not guys who are somewhat similar to his game.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about, you know, consider him and CJ, they have one of the most dynamic backcourts, but they're not really big, right? You know, you think about CJ, shooting guard, they're both kind of on the smaller side. When you were so accustomed to some of these, you know, point guards having like a 6'5 James Harden, big guys, you know, they're kind of small when you think about their team size. And then you look at, you know, where you're sitting at with Nurkic. You know, they have him and they have to make a decision on him, but he's not a star that you need to be pairing. You need a big three, and I just don't know where that third star is coming from. I know Zach Collins is often injured. Last year they went out and they made the trade for Norman Powell. That had mixed reviews in my concern. The question is, who can they go get? Who's there? Who's available?
I'm going to throw one at you, and you're going to think probably not so much. But I think it actually could be a better fit than the situation this guy's in right now. What if you went McCollum for Porzingis?
To me, that's like almost having Nurkic as well, like a big guy that's always hurt.
Nurkic,
well, what I'm saying, he's a big guy that's always hurt, right? Yeah, he spreads the floor, but, you know, CJ there, that still doesn't move the needle, because I don't think you need to be taking McCollum away. You need to be adding a third star. So how do you get the third star? Because when you look at them in the West, to me, they still are a team that's going to struggle to be around the fourth to fifth seed and going to be one of the teams that gets bounced early. Like, maybe they win one series and lose the next one. So, like, in that instance, are you wasting his prime? And I think that they are. I mean, they're wasting his greatness. It's almost like hashtag free Dame Lillard, but he's a guy that, you know, don't understand that, hey, the cage is unlocked.
But
all you have to do
problem.
Is open it.
This is my problem with it. I don't think Dame's ever going to find it in Portland. I don't have that feeling. Do you? Like, for me, if it were me, I'd be trying to, just the way things are right now, I'd be looking for greener pastures right now.
See, this is the thing, man. He made a decision a long time ago that he wanted to win it the old school way. And not understanding that it's okay. It's different ways in which people win. And maybe Jordan didn't, you know, he stayed in one place. But he damn sure didn't have the same roster, you know, bringing Pippen in, right? You think about the different three-peats that they've had. It's been, you know, okay, Hodges for Kerr, Paxton, right? It's been a lot of different people coming in, and they haven't been able to find and attract the stars. It's much easier to get people to want to come play with Michael Jordan. And look how long they have been begging Carmelo to come to Portland, and it took Carmelo having no other options to go to Portland, and he enjoyed it once he got there. But the problem is, when you talk about the Pacific Northwest, nobody wants to go there
exactly.
To live, or nobody wants to exist there. And it's all about location, location, location. He's just in a bad location with that average team.
Well, I mean, that's partially why a team in Seattle didn't work, and they had to move. Look, it was finances as well, but players for the long haul are not going to necessarily want to be there. I agree, and this is why, as much as I admire what he's trying to do, I just don't know that the answer is going to be there. And as we heard from Wendy there, maybe his patience is running a little bit short, but he's still trying to be involved in this. And then there's Ben Simmons, who we're going to spend all offseason talking about. And one of the greatest debates right now is going to be, what is he worth? You know, we saw Doc after the game the other day say, I don't know if he's the guy. And then quickly the next day say, we've got the plan. We're good. We're going to get him fixed. No problem. And that's all about leverage.
But
we got to listen to Barkley here on Ben Simmons. And who exactly would want him?
You know, I hear all these people talking about, well, they got to trade Ben Simmons. Greeny, what NBA team that watched the last five games going to give up a ton to get Ben Simmons? Mm. Well, they've got to trade Ben Simmons. What general manager in his right mind would watch the last five games and say, we need to go and get that guy and give up something for him?
I don't disagree with Charles. I do think that there are GMs around the league that will look at his overall talent and still put value in that.
You know, frustrating stars, right? I mean, but what are you going to get back in return? That's the key. And also, you're going to be absorbing that $100 million contract that he has. But like I said, man, I stick to my guns when I talk about, you know, trading him to Sacramento. mm-hmm. right? Because they have Tyler Halliburton, right, who basically is their point guard, right? So now you bring Ben Simmons out there, you take the ball out of his hand, and it's crazy, right, because you finally hear Ben Simmons saying, hey, I think I'm going to shoot with my dominant hand. You think? Like, well, you think? So
what
you mean,
concept?
So I mean, I can see, okay, you feel comfortable shooting jump shots with your non-dominant hand, but damn it, use your good hand to shoot your free throws. Uh-oh. Like, really? This is a thing? So I think he's a righty, but he shoots lefty, or is it vice versa?
Mm-hmm. I think it's righty and he shoots lefty.
It's like, bruh, whoever told you that to begin with? Oh, man. Like, it's like teaching somebody to be a southpaw in boxing because you say, okay, people don't see southpaws, and you'll be basically jabbing with your dominant hand.
888-SAY-ESPN, James in Kansas City. Next, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. James, what about Ben Simmons? Where's he going?
Simmons, he probably need to stay at Philly. He just need to work on which hand he is. He don't understand what hand he is. And that's what the coach should have took him out into the last 2 minutes of each game. So Doc got a problem with that too. So this guy need to work on what hand he is.
That's crazy, right? That we're talking about a professional athlete trying to figure out what hand should he play and shoot his basketball with. It's like, what the hell are we talking about? Like, okay. Like, if it ain't been working, what? This should have been a mid-season switch. Like, at least for free throws. Like, hey, man, listen. I can shoot a basketball with my left hand a little bit, but, man, I feel so much more comfortable when I'm shooting with my right hand. It feels great, man, that, you know, I write with this hand, so I know it's coordinated. Why the hell, like, if you shoot 31% for the free throw line, instead of trying to shoot with the bad hand, I would have shot with my dominant hand to see if that would – I mean, I would have tried to change my fortunes. He never gave it a shot.
Just a thought. Just a thought. 31% playoffs. I'm going to try the other hand. Make that a shot. Why not?
Maybe he was fit. Maybe he could have been 50% with the right hand. That could have won him a couple of close-ass games.
And it'd say ESPN. And it'd say 729.
I'm like Shaq. I'm like Shaq. I would have smacked the hell out of him. We'd have gotten a fight. If I'm Joel Embiid, I would have asked him what the five finger said to the face after he said, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. What it is, what it is. And I'm out of the playoffs. Are you serious? You would have saw my fingerprints on his light-skinned face.
888-SAY-ESPN. I need to get just a little sound clip of, you know, something of somebody just saying, here's something else Chris can't respond to. 888-SAY-ESPN.
Smack. We'll call him light bread.
Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus coming to you live from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 here in New York City. We continue in moments with a landmark day in the NFL. And the reaction across the league, great to see. We'll discuss next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
After this, I think I have a read. Christopher,
oh, you should DIY. Do
DIY means sawdust, work gloves, and the right tools. But at the Home Depot, right tools means more than hammers and saws. It means a mobile app with built-in image search. Yup, that's a tool. Access the entire rental department with a swipe. That's another tool. For any project, start to finish, this isn't just DIY. This is doing it like never before. This is Home Depot, how doers get more done. Download our mobile app to get started now. Your calls and some shocking news in the NFL next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
In the NFL yesterday, Carl Nassib of the Las Vegas Raiders, the defensive end, came out as gay in a social media post, just saying that he had agonized over it for a long time. In a follow-up note, had, you know, never necessarily felt comfortable, had been wanting to do it for 15 years. But Bart finally did it yesterday, and this is more significant, I think, than even maybe Michael Sam, because he was a player who was drafted but wasn't a prominent player in the league. This is a prominent player in the league who is doing this, a guy that's already gotten a pretty big money contract from the Raiders.
And he has job security.
Yeah,
let's say that.
Exactly.
Right?
And I thought this was a landmark moment, and it seemed like across the league, outside of the normal, you know, the league's going to put out the right statements, all the PR statements, it seemed like he got a good amount of support yesterday.
I mean, good for him, right? I mean, to have to carry that, you know, that cross, so to speak, to have to carry that weight of not being able to be you, right? To suppress who you are and not let the world know who you are, and to feel like you have to pretend to be something that you're not, is a tough thing to deal with. And the fact that he felt like, hey, this was the time. You can never tell somebody when the time is. You know, as a teammate, I would have been like, look, man, what took you so long, man? Like, we're not Neanderthals, right? And people think that football players are Neanderthals, cavemen, we're not evolved. You know, football particularly itself has always been at the forefront of change, social change, and change in, within sports, you know, integration. You think about all that type of stuff, the first black quarterback. Now, I know basketball was fast to a lot of it, and baseball definitely with Jackie Robinson. But, you know, you talk about back in the day, like, you know, some of the, you know, first black quarterbacks, you know, people think Doug Williams was, but he wasn't. There was a lot of black quarterbacks, you know, far before that. I believe, I forget Shaq's name. He was used to be the general manager for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, I think he played for Denver. You know, and it's like one of those things, like, I just want people to feel comfortable being who they are, right? And, you know, this isn't the first. Now, this is the first, you know, openly, not, well, Michael Sam's was the first. But, you know, I've had a couple of teammates that we knew were, and we kept their secrets because they didn't feel comfortable. But to think that football players are some uninvolved Neanderthals, you know, the fact that he's getting support isn't a surprise to me. And, you know, we're going to continue to champion this, right? And we want everybody to feel comfortable in their own skin, because at the end of the day, if you're a teammate, you're family.
And, Bart, you know, I made some calls this morning just to talk to guys who are around locker room, staff guys and players, just to get a sense of what it is like now. And to a man, they all said the same thing. This is somebody who's going to be accepted. These times are a lot different right now than maybe they even were 10 or 15 years ago. And it's not just about political correctness or anything. It's about genuine acceptance.
Here's the thing, Chris. Like, you know, any group makes up society. So everything you have in society, you have in a group. So, I mean, you know how many players have, you know, I have a guy brother that cross-dresses, right? You know, I have a couple of gay family members. You know, we deal with this in our regular life. So it's not one of those things that when we hear a teammate, you know, decide to come out, or somebody within the NFL or within our fraternity, it's nothing new to us because we've already had these conversations, right? You know, and I tell you all the time that, you know, I'm proud of my guy brother. And listen, you know, I always got his back, and no matter what he does, he's family.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Bart and Han here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We spent time just a little while ago discussing Jacob deGrom and the remarkable season that he is having. Is he doing things that will never happen again in the game? Our next guest would know. We ask him in moments. ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.